you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. It's Testimony Tuesday, one of my favorite days of the week, and I'm pretty energized here, John. In fact, I haven't had any coffee, I haven't had any sugar in my system, but I'm kind of wired meeting the special guest and hearing some of his faith journey, and so I appreciate people that can come in and share about how Jesus wooed them to himself, how Jesus reached out and touched their lives, how God extended love to them. And the special pastor that we have today with us, he said, Mark, I love that Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. And so we're going to talk with Warren Brosey. He's the minister. What, senior pastor? Is that?
We just call ourselves ministers.
Minister at the Berlin Christian Church in New Berlin, Illinois, and John Swinford, who's also joining us in on this interview, the station manager here at the WLUJ family of stations. He said, Mark, this guy's the real deal. In fact, last week I had him in, and we recorded some scriptures, and that's a new thing that you've been doing, John, where you've been inviting various pastors in to record some scriptures. What, you call it like the verse of the day or the verses of the week?
Verse of the week, yeah. That's something that we really like to do. We're wanting to partner with local churches and local church pastors so that we can be seen by them as just another tool in the tool belt to help reach people throughout the week when they're not in services.
Yeah, that's one of the things we want to be known as a ministry, that we're very community-minded, yep, very engaged, and it's an easy no-brainer for me to honor pastors or have them a part of the broadcast, because it's really clear God's bride is the church. God, right, wants to work his special work in people's lives through the church, and that primarily comes through the teaching and preaching of the pastor, their involvement in the people's lives and in setting up the curriculum, the preaching, but the pastor does so much. Much more. Sometimes the groundskeeper, and he has to do the hospital visits and the weddings and the funerals, and when people are sick or they need a special insight, he's the one that's called on to help resolve things, or if there's a conflict in the family or the children are going astray, and setting up the curriculum, and he has to be pretty avid or aware of the different technologies to put the sermon together or to have the PowerPoint or to help with the newsletter. I mean, it's endless. John, I've told you this before. I'd never want to be a pastor. I mean, all the various demands, and then the expectations are off, yeah, the chart. Everyone wants them to be great, and they have to be like the Chuck Swindoll or the Tony Evans or the David Jeremiah in their preaching style, and yet then they have to be like Erwin Lutzer and doing this and that. And so how do you keep it all together, Pastor Warren, with the expectations and the demands and then the pressures, and how do you lean into God to have the strength and the wherewithal to do what a pastor does each and every week?
Sure. Well, thanks, Mark. That's a great question. I was talking with a guy at the coffee shop just last week, and he said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a preacher. And he said, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
And I said, no, I think it's the greatest job in the world, and I just love what I do. And so how do we do it? One, I've got a team. I don't do it by myself. Michael Hinnens, our associate minister, does a great job. But I've got a team of leaders, so we share that leadership burden and joy. And then also, I've got people praying for me, and I ask them to pray. And so every Monday, generally, I send out my prayer email to a group of people that I love and trust, I know that are praying. And I'm like, here's what's going on in my week. And I list off the pastoral duties. I list off what's happening in our family. Here's what I'm preaching on this week. Here's the text. And I've got people praying, and I could not do it without the prayers of God's people and his strength and his Holy Spirit working in us.
And I think you used a key word not only do you love it, but probably for most pastors, and John, you could even jump in on this, but it almost has to be a calling, because unless God is really in it and infusing or equipping or assisting you all along the way, there's no way you would have the energy to be able to do it. So probably some of your loving it was God just wired you or built that in. And so as we talk about your testimony and your faith journey, when did you start having those initial conversations with God or with Jesus to know that you were a sinner and that you needed a Savior? And then how did you get into being a pastor? What was that calling look like?
Yeah. So I remember going to church most of our life, and I was in about sixth grade, and our family was invited to church, and we went to this thing called youth group. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what youth group was, because the churches we'd been part of were small, not a lot of kids. And so I went to this thing called youth group. It was on a Sunday night. It was at a youth minister's house, and I'm thinking, how can we have church and be at someone's house? I thought we had to be in a building at a church. And we went to this thing called youth group, and it was so fun. We played basketball, and I'm like, basketball is fun, church. How does that go together? We had some snacks. I remember there was a devotion on James. And so that was my first kind of like, whoa, this is fun, and I like this. And through that year and being part of the youth ministry, I really felt like I'd like to do this when I grew up. So I was like, I was 12 years old, and it was really cool. I still remember visiting with my preacher in our kitchen on one of those old green, avocado green phones, the rotary dialed phones that had the big long cord that would stretch around the block.
Yeah,
and I remember talking with him, and I said, I want to get baptized. He said, why do you want to get baptized? And I said, well, I know that being a good person is not enough. I need God's grace in my life, and I know I need Him. And so shortly thereafter, I was baptized. My dad was baptized that same day, and so was my sister. And so that was a special moment for our family, and it's just one of those defining changes. You know, we were a good family, but God got a hold of my dad, and my dad became an elder later on in the church, and I got to do some different things. Preached my first sermon when I was 14 years old on a Sunday night youth night church. And went off to Bible college, to Ozark Christian College, and then did my master's degree at Lincoln Christian University up here in Lincoln, Illinois. And so that's some of the calling. Neat part that I didn't realize till about a year or two ago was when I was first born and my mom was holding me, and her grandma, I need to try to remember her. So it was my great-grandma came, and she got to hold me. I was just days old from the hospital, and she was holding me, and she looked at my mom. And she said, this boy is going to do something great for God's kingdom.
Wow.
And I didn't even know anything about that till after I was graduated from Bible college and been preaching for several years. And my mom said it kind of waked me out a little bit early on hearing those words. But God's so good.
And I'm thinking, as you're telling that story, I'm thinking of Paul as he's addressing Timothy and saying, like, Eunice, like your grandmother and your mother. Yeah. And then I was also thinking, as you were talking about, that your dad and your sister also came to Christ in the same day. And I wonder what role your mom had. Was she praying for years? I know you said she was modeling Christ. She was a good churchgoer. Yeah. But what influence was she having on you?
You know, she was probably the spiritual leader for our family in those early years, and really it's been just bedrock solid throughout. And she is a praying woman, and she prays faithfully even now. And years earlier, I was like 5 years old, and my dad broke his arm, and his brother drowned, and he lost his job all within about a week.
Wow.
And it was in the early 80s. And that was about 2.5 years before Dad got work. And Mom has told that story that we just kept praying, and God provided for our family in a variety of ways. And so my mom's faith has been consistent throughout. Her mom was faithful, but my dad's family really didn't have much faith. So, you know, the spiritual lineage came through our family. But, yeah. We wouldn't be followers of Jesus without my mom's influence and faithful prayers, powers of prayer.
And I appreciate you sharing that, because I know there's so many listeners that maybe are senior saints that, well, Mark, I can't have an impact. I'm in my 80s. I'm in my 90s. I'm kind of home alone. but the power of their prayers, mm-hmm. how God mm-hmm. loves and delights in people that intercede on behalf of yeah. others. Mm-hmm. And so many of us could reference how our mom's prayers was the turning point in our lives, mm-hmm. or knowing that our grandmother faithfully every night prayed and lifted my name up. And yeah. I'm sure, John, that's probably some of your story, too. People in your background, whether it was your wife or friends, that prayed, the power of prayer.
That's right. I attribute my point of where I am in Christ right now to my grandmother. I will always remember her sitting at that table with her open Bible and a notebook and a cup of tea. You know, I cannot tell you how many times, Mark and Warren, how many times we receive correspondence here at the studio from grandmothers and mothers mm-hmm. praying for and asking us to join them in prayer for their children and grandchildren mm-hmm. by name, because they need to know Jesus in this season. They're frightened for their children.
I know, John, this always encourages you. And we just got a letter, I think, 2 days ago, and a sizable donation from somebody that's at the Lincoln Correctional Facility. And some of you that maybe even tuned in today that for various reasons, you know, can't get out. You're incarcerated or you're shut in, or for medical reasons you can't leave your home. The power of your prayer, how God loves and delights in and responds to specific words that you share. And so we do all count it a privilege as a ministry that we have so many prayer warriors.
Right.
And I'm sure, Pastor Warren, as the church, as you've mentioned, you covet, you rely on, you need the parishioners, the members to be praying for you, praying for your sermon, praying for your preparation of the sermon.
Right.
I know many pastors spend hours like, Lord, I feel you burden me with this verse. Help me divide it clearly. Help me find points of application. So speaking of scripture, you mentioned Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. As they say, why does this flip your switch, or what do you like about this verse?
To me, it just boils down to you seek God and he'll take care of everything else. You put God first, everything else will fall into place. And so I just live my life that way. God, you're first, and you're going to take care of, if you read the context, always when you get these memory verses, read the context, you know. And it talks about food and clothing. So God's going to take care of your food and clothes. He's going to take care of your needs. You just put him first. And that's just what I've hung my hat on and my life on to date, and he's always provided.
I love this whole section of Scripture, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, part of the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
Anytime we've taken a group to Israel, we'll read all three of these chapters just line by line, and it's a picturesque area overlooking the Sea of Galilee.
So
and, you know, we'll talk about, look at the birds of the air, and don't you know a flock of birds will fly over, and how Jesus used word pictures and the terrain, or, you know, whenever he told a story, people could identify with him. And this section of Scripture, I mean, these words of Jesus about seeking first the kingdom of God, that's what he delights and desires all of us to do, to entertain the idea that there's a loving God that cares, and that as we explore or entertain that he's out for our best interests, then we can surrender and foster that relationship. And it seems like God's been at work in your life. Now, tell us a little about Beth and these four children that he's gifted you with.
Sure. So I've got a sweet wife. Her name is Beth. And
now, the sweet, you're already past husbandry 101.
Yes.
You're already, what's it when you are proficient and you get course credit for something in college and they just move you on? Isn't
I don't know. I just barely made it through.
Okay. You're proficient out of husbandry 101.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Sweet wife. And, you know, you kind of ask, you know, what keeps you in your calling?
Yeah.
I was in seminary. So this is a few years ago, 2003, maybe 2002. Kind of some rough waters in the church ministry at that time. And I remember unpacking that conflict in the classroom with my fellow classmates. And one of my classmates, Chad Ragsdale, he said, how'd you make it through it? I said, well, one, God. Mm-hmm. And two, my wife has been my rock.
Yeah.
And so Beth is so faithful. And she is, you know, behind every good man is a better woman, I'd say. And so I'm thankful for her undying love. And she's just great. So We've been married since August of 01, so we're coming up on 20 years of marriage this summer, Lord willing. And the church has seen me come as a single guy back in August of 2000. I showed up with my red Dodge Dakota pickup, and all my belongings were in the back, and I knew I was going to come up here to seminary to Lincoln, to Lincoln Christian University, and if I didn't have a job at Berlin, I was going to live with my grandma up in the Quad Cities. So I knew I was coming up here, and so they've seen me come as a single guy, and now I'm married and have four wonderful kids. My daughter is Grace. She is a junior at New Berlin High School, and she's got a heart for missions and for others, and she also is interested in psychology, mm-hmm. so I'm thankful for her. Walker is a freshman. He's 14, and he just is fun, and he still loves his Legos, and he's just a fun person to be around. Weston is 12, and he is in sixth grade. He's in Scholastic Bowl and is really enjoying that.
Little shout out for him. He'll probably appreciate it the
yes.
most. You know, wow, my name was said over
yes,
the radio.
Yeah, and okay. so he's in Scholastic Bowl, and he's our engineer. He loves to put things together. He's a deep thinker, a lot of fun. So he's at the junior high. And then our youngest is Hope, and she is 8. She's at the elementary school in second grade with Mrs. Mouse and doing those teachers. I want to give those teachers a great shout out. They're doing so good in some challenging times.
Now, with Beth, would you say it was love at first sight? How did you first connect? Was it at seminary? Was it in school? Was it a setup? How did you come to meet?
Yeah, so it was God brought us together, obviously, but we were both in Bible college at Ozark Christian College in Joplin, Missouri, and we were both on what were called life ministry teams at the time, which were, we called them camp teams. You would go to church camps all summer long and recruit for the college and sing and teach and whatever you needed to do. And so I was leading the team, and I found out that this one gal is named Beth Binney is on my team. I didn't know who she was. And so I was at the cafeteria at Ozark, and I said, "Who's this Beth Binney?" And one of the people pointed her out to me, and I met her. She was dumping her tray at after dinner, and I just greeted her and said, "Hey, my name's Warren. I think we're on camp team together. Looking forward to spend the summer with you." So that was summer of 97, I believe. And so we were on camp team all that summer, and I always told the guy on my team, I just respect, and he said, I really respect Beth, and you know, she'll make someone a really good wife someday. And we just were friends all through Bible college, and then that last year, she was serving on a mission, doing her internship in Taiwan on a mission trip for school, and there was an earthquake over there, and email was just starting to kind of get exciting and on the front row, and so I messaged her and said, "Hey, I just saw there was an earthquake, and how are things going?" And she got this email, and she's like, "Warren Brosey, who's this guy?"
Sure.
And so it took her a while, and so we started corresponding while she was in Taiwan, and then she came back to the States and finished her school, and we started dating shortly thereafter.
I was thinking, John, when he mentioned that he even remembered, this is 20 years past, her tray and food going off.
Yeah.
I think there were seeds already being planted in his mind, and God was making some connections. Well, you know, like you said, thank you, God, for those that support pastors and Beth supporting you and your four children, 17, 14, 12, and 8. And in our closing couple minutes, say you're on an elevator.
Sure.
And let's just say it's maybe the Sears Tower. You have about 2 or 3 minutes, and you find that somebody says, "I heard you're a Christian. What does that mean?" Or, "I've never been to church. What is this about having a relationship with God?" What would you tell that person in a couple minutes?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'd say it's a relationship and that Jesus loves you and he's given his life for you and he wants what's best for you. I think people that are searching for the truth will find Jesus at the end of their search because Jesus says, "I'm the truth." So he's someone that we can stand on, you know, we can build our life upon. He's gracious, he's forgiving, but he's also going to hold us accountable.
Right. Yes.
And so I appreciate that as well. I just love being a Christian because I can lay my head down at night and know that God's got me.
Yeah.
And it's going to be okay no matter what this world throws at me. Jesus is going to see me through.
Yeah, I love also to share with people, when you understand God's character, yes, he's holy, yes, he's sovereign, but he's good, he's caring, he's compassionate, he's full of mercy. Yes, there will be a judgment, so I don't want to ever minimize that we all are sinners, we're fallen, we don't deserve to have a relationship with him. But when we understand his great love and the extent that he'll go to save us, sending his very precious son, his one and only son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we can have that breakthrough that he's a good God, that he's a caring God, then there's a tendency we'll be drawn to him. Mm-hmm. And then however he works that unique breakthrough, that we get it, that we're sinners, that we're fallen, that we ask Jesus into our hearts, then, you know, it's that mystery adventure that we all get to be on as we follow Jesus and try to faithfully serve him and serve God. Well, you're doing that at the Berlin Christian Church. Mm-hmm. You've been doing that for, I guess, about 20 years now.
Yeah,
20 years, and we appreciate you. Thank you for being a part of the WLUJ Verses of the Week.
You're
and your
thank
service
you
to your congregation and the Berlin Christian Church. And thank you for carving out time and coming today and sharing some of your testimony. And I would just pray that as people hear your testimony, those that are far from God that maybe never entertained the idea of coming to know him, that could maybe happen today, that
sure,
they could seek out a believer, they could seek you out or another pastor in the area. And there's always that 800 number 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. These are trained counselors. It's a free call, and they'll answer any of the questions you have about the Christian faith. Can you trust the Bible? Who is Jesus? Any question to ask, they will try to answer it. It's a great bunch. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And so that would be our desire, that this program may be stirred in your heart, a recollection or an understanding that there is a good God. And let me tell you, as you read the scriptures, it's his love letter to you. He does care for you, and he wants you to be in a relationship with him. And thank you, Pastor Warren, for being available. Thank you, Pastor John, for hosting this. We're at the Springfield Studios here on Mason Street. We always love visitors, so come say hi sometime. And we just delight in allowing these 19 frequencies to touch lives throughout Central Illinois, West Central Indiana, and actually the world through our streaming audio. I know, John, when we look at some of those reports, we have people in Russia and Canada and Germany that are tuning in. So you just never know how God will use our broadcast.
And Mark, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to come. And I'm thankful for the ministry of WLUJ. I've listened off and on over the years, and I always know I can depend on just some good encouragement and solid teachings. And so I just want to appreciate you guys and your ministry. And just thank you for all you do.
Amen. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Thank you for your prayers, everyone. Thank you for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, John Swinford, and Pastor Warren Brosey with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.